I'd just like to say to start tonight that I'm very thankful that God has given me the opportunity to go to Mexico and preach the gospel there. I'm thankful to everyone who has helped me, supported me, prayed for me, worked with me, cared for us, taken care of us. I have found it a great pleasure, a distinct honor, and look forward to preaching the gospel to people many times who've never heard it before. And I just want to say thank you. And I'm thankful to the Lord. Look with me, if you will, at Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and verse 23. It's in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, chapter 22, and I'm going to start reading in verse 23. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, and have exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your blessings and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that, Lord, you'd bless us tonight. I pray that, Lord, you would have your way. Speak to us and bless us with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking at this, I guess, last night. And I've always enjoyed verse 30. It's one of my favorites. It has been an encouragement, a motivator, something that's kept me going for many years. But as I looked at this passage last night, I saw some things that I'd like to share. Some things that are very sad. It's a very sad passage in the Bible. A very sad story, a very sad account of what we find in a situation. I'd like to look at three things that I find very sad in this story. In verses 25 through 29, we find a very sad condition. We find a condition of a people, a condition of an area, a condition of a region, a condition of a city. I don't know exactly how large the area is that he's talking about here, but we find a condition that is very sad. It talks about conspiring prophets. It talks about profane priests. It talks about ravening princes. It talks about lying prophets and oppressive people. All in a situation where we find that the people do not serve God. They don't know God. They don't have the truth. They don't have the Word of God preached or proclaimed. They don't have people teaching them the truth of the Word of God. We find prophets that have conspired to make a business out of religion, to make a business out of preaching, to make a business out of the needs and the desires and the searching of people. It says they devour souls and they go after this and they're doing all this and they're conspiring together. And we find today in many places in the same situation where prophets and preachers and people that claim to be of God, proclaiming the word, proclaiming what they call to be the word, they're conspiring together, and they make councils and they make rules and they get together and they're devouring souls. They're sending people to hell. They're doing all that they can, and they devour. They make a big business, and religion is a big business in the world.
Amen.
Conspiring prophets working together to devour souls. Profane priests. Priests that make no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither they show difference between the clean and the unclean. They hid their eyes from God's presence. And God is profaned among them. All types of religion in the world today. They don't care what the truth is. They don't care what's right. Don't care what's wrong.
Don't care if it was what God said or if it's what man said, if it's clean or if it's unclean, if it's sin, if it's not sin, if it's good or if it's evil, they do what they want to do. And they even profane the name of God. They call these statues God. They call all types of idols God. They carry pictures around and they kiss them and they pray to their God and they say, we do no wrong, we do no evil. And priests teach them this. And priests bring them in and they say, you have to confess to me and I will forgive you and I will do this. And they profane the forgiveness of God and what God has done to forgive sinners. They profane God. God's name is profaned among them. They make God out to be cheap, a little piece of wood or a little piece of stone. They make God out to be without power, something that has arms that don't work and mouth that won't speak and ears that won't hear and eyes that don't see. Profane gods, ravening princes. Princes that go out and corrupt governments and corrupt peoples and corrupt leaders and corrupt influential people wherever they go, and all they want is dishonest gain. All they want is to take the people and kill them, and they shed their blood and they do everything they can just to get more and more, and they heap to themselves treasures and they heap to themselves power and they heap to themselves money and they heap to themselves many people and much pleasure and much dishonest gain, and all they're doing is they're ravenous, so like ravenous wolves. Devouring people, destroying souls, destroying people. It says they're prophets again. Lying prophets. Lying prophets. Daub them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. This is one of the sorriest conditions I can think of.
Well, there are prophets in the world today, and they carry a book that they call the Bible, and they carry it around, and many of them use different verses to preach. Many of them say many things and use proof text and they claim to read out of this book. But they're lying to the people. God can say that in many cases. God can say it this way, but they twist it all out of faith and they turn it this way and they turn it that. And you can find people that believe everything from one side of the spectrum to the other. And it's not what God has said. They've just twisted it out of context. They've twisted it out of what God has said. They're lying prophets, lying to the people, lying to the power of the soul, lying for whatever purpose, for prestige or for power, for bigger churches, for glass cathedrals. I don't know how they do it for.
But they divine lies. They look for lies and Satan sends them lies. And they preach and they prophesy. And they say God said and God didn't say. It's an important thing to have a book you can trust.
That's right.
It's an important thing to have a book you can rely on. It's an important thing to have a Bible and know you can read it, know that it can say something, and know that you can go back to it and say, God said this, but he didn't say what that man said. One thing that we preach, and we tell the people that come and listen to us, and we tell them over and over and over again, don't take my word for it, but go back and check it out by the book. I might make a mistake. I do my best. I have to do my best to teach them the truth, to teach them what God said, to make sure that they can get it, because many times they've never heard it. They've never read the Bible. They've never opened it. They've never looked. But they don't know. And I tell them, go back. Don't trust me. They've trusted priests all their lives. They say a priest can say no wrong when he speaks from the pulpit, from the place where he speaks. They say a priest couldn't lie to me. I say, well, what does God say? They trust priests, they trust men, they trust people that say, God said that thing. And an oppressed people, an oppressive people, corruption and false religion and false prophets and false Bibles and false context and false teachings. And what do you find in the people? You find an oppressive people that oppress each other, that are out to kill and maim and hurt and destroy and do nothing, do anything that they can to get ahead in this life. Do anything that they can to have something better. Do anything that they can. Run over their neighbor and run over their friends and climb all over the bodies and the ambitions and the goals of their neighbors and their loved ones to get anything they can. They've exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. It's a sad condition. A sad condition. Then in verse 31, there's a sad conclusion. It says, therefore, have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. It is a false teaching that pervades the world today that God is love and nothing more. God is love. I declare that unto you and I declare unto the people in Mexico, God is love. But the Bible says that God is an avenging God.
that God will not vengeance on those who have sinned against Him, that God will not pardon the wicked, that God will take vengeance on all the enemies, and He will do it.
Amen.
And people don't preach the wrath of God. They don't preach the judgment of God. They don't preach that God judges sin. God not only judges sin in individuals, He judges sin in cities, He judges sin in nations, He judges sin in worlds, and He will judge. And He came to the point where this condition and this people and this group of people, that He judged. He says, I poured out my indignation on them. I consumed them with my wrath. I recompensed their own way upon their heads. What they did to others, I gave it back to them. The way they treated us, it came back. They killed us, and I killed them. They ruined lives, and I ruined their lives. They destroyed, they cared not about me, and I cared not about them. I destroyed them. I recompensed their own way upon their head. That sad condition came back to visit. Roosters come home to roost, and God visited the sin of His people upon His people, upon their head. The sad condition became a sad conclusion. But there's something even sadder in this passage. You find it in verse 30. It's a sad comment. It says, and I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God sought for a man. God searched for men. The Bible talks about His eyes going to and fro in the earth, that He might find somebody He can show Himself strong on their behalf. Somebody that trusts Him. Somebody that cares. Somebody that looks to Him for the strength and looks to Him for the salvation. Looks to Him for everything that they have. Looks to Him for forgiveness. Looks to Him for redemption. Looks to Him for strength that He might do the work of the Lord. Looks to Him that He might be strong, that He might stand against temptation, that He might do whatever it is that needs to be done. And He says, I'm looking for such a man that I can show myself strong on His behalf.
Amen.
He's searching for men.
Amen.
The Bible says that He's searching for men that execute judgment and seek after truth. He's looking for men that care. He's looking for men that are going to do right no matter what the rest of the world does. He's looking for men that are going to do right when it's against his best business, or he's going to lose money, or he may not get the best friendship, or he may not reach the most influential people. He is looking for men that do judgment and seek truth.
God cares whether or not you seek the truth. A lot of people think God cares if you go to church. God cares if you seek the truth. Now God wants you in church. But God wants you in a church where they're going to preach the truth. God wants you in a church where they're going to teach you the truth. God wants you in a church where they're going to teach you to teach and seek out the truth for yourself. God's looking for men who seek the truth.
God's on a search for a man. God is looking for men that will preach the gospel. I think of Isaiah. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, woe is me. And then the Lord asked a question. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? He's looking for a man to send to preach the gospel. They needed to know. They needed a prophet to declare God's righteousness. They needed a prophet to declare that God would judge, that God wanted to pardon, that God wanted to forgive, and that God wanted to save. And God sought for a man. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. God is looking for men that will leave home and go somewhere else.
Amen.
To preach the gospel. I think of Paul. Paul and Barnabas and other elders in Acts were praying, serving the Lord, ministering unto Him. And God came down and said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to do.
Amen.
God is looking for men. God is looking for men throughout the whole world. God has been looking for men ever since the beginning of history. God is going to search for a man. And it says here tonight, in this passage, that He sought for a man among them. God went to this area. God went to this people. And He said He looked among them.
Nice.
He looked among all the people that there were. All the people that were oppressing each other. All the churches that were out to destroy. All the prophets that were preaching falsely. All the prophets that were conspiring together, making business. All the that were profaning all the things that were there because of the false religion. And He looked and said, is there one whose conscience is pricked, who sees a need, who sees a desire to help his fellow man, who sees a need in these people that they might be brought to God?
is that I looked. I looked for a man to make up the hedge. I looked for someone to stand up again and put up the boundaries and say, this is sin, don't live around it. This is wrong to put up boundaries and to make up the hedge again. This is evil. Don't do it. You should be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be on church on Sundays. You should be reading the Bible. You should be doing this. You shouldn't be down in the bar. You shouldn't be chasing women. You shouldn't be doing all these things to build up their heads again so that they might know that there are boundaries over which man cannot cross without incurring upon himself the wrath of God. Make up the hedge and stand in the gap. It's an interesting thought. He said he's looking for someone to stand in the gap before him, that he might not destroy the land. He's looking for somebody who cares enough about the people to plead their case before God, to call to the Lord and God, the Lord have mercy. Abraham says, stood yet before the Lord one day, and he said, Lord, you're going to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and there are wicked people, but Lord, you're not going to do that which is wrong. You won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. And in all that he pled, and he pled God, that wicked city, that city that was so wicked that it incurred the wrath of God, being all by itself with four other cities, a small percentage of the population, so wicked, so corrupt, so vile, it incurred the wrath of God. And Abraham stood before the Lord and said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous in the city, would you spare it? The Lord said, yeah, I'll spare it for 50. He said, Lord, let me ask again. How about 45? He said, okay. And he kept asking, and he kept asking, and he kept asking all the way down to 10 people. He said, Lord, if there's just 10 righteous in the city, just 10 righteous in the city, would you spare it for 10 righteous? The Lord said, yes. The Lord even said one time, he said, if you find one person that executes judgment and seeks truth, I'll pardon the city. God is looking for people to stand in the gap before him and say, Lord, have mercy upon these people. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I know that we're all sinners. Lord, I know that we're all corrupt. Lord, I know that we're a corrupt people. Lord, I know that we're a corrupt government. Lord, I know that we're in a sorry condition. We're a sad state. But Lord, have mercy upon this people. Stand in the gap. And he says, that I might not destroy it, that I should not destroy the land. God did not want to destroy this land. That was not God's desire. God said, I looked for a man. I looked for one man. A man. To stand in the gap before me that I would not destroy the people. But I found none. I found none. There wasn't anybody that cared. There wasn't anybody who wanted the truth. There wasn't anybody who looked for the truth. There wasn't anybody who executed judgment. There wasn't anybody who wanted to do right. And nobody sought mercy from a living God. Nobody. I think tonight of many places around the world that seem to be in that situation. They have false religion. They've got prophets and they've got priests and they've got preachers and they've got princes and they've got people and they've got all sorts of things. Some of them have riches and some of them have many things. But they're in a sad condition. And worse yet, they've got nobody that cares.
Right.
They've got nobody that cares. There may be people in this town and they don't have family that knows the gospel. They don't know friends that have preached them Jesus Christ. Oh, they've heard of Jesus Christ. They've heard it here. They've heard it there. But maybe they don't have anybody that cares about their soul, that cares about them, that is longing to see them saved. And they need somebody to care. They need somebody to pray.
Amen.
They need somebody to go and tell them the gospel. There's people all over Texas. And I think that when you get outside of the United States and certain other countries, you find multiplied many people that have never heard the gospel. I preach in Lagos de Moreno, Mexico. It's a town of 100,000 people. It's on a main crossroads of main highways that crisscross Mexico. It's only 3 hours away from Guadalajara. It's only half an hour, 45 minutes away from León, a town of 1 million people. It's only 2 hours away from San Luis Potosí and another hour away from Aguascalientes. Three of those are state capitals. One is a major city. And yet, I run into people day in and day out that have never heard what I preach. They've never heard it.
Oh, they've had 426 years of Spanish people there teaching them the Catholic religion, of teaching them Mary, of teaching them priests, of teaching them confession, of teaching them their lives, of teaching them their thoughts, and teaching them their false religion and their false prophets. 426 years.
And how many years before the Spaniards ever came? There may have been somebody at some time back in the past that went there, but I've never heard of it. Those people didn't hear. But God said He sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God sought there. I believe God searches everywhere, but I believe God sought there in Lagos de Moreno. And I believe God didn't find one. At least I think He didn't. But God in His mercy went someplace else.
Amen.
God in His mercy went looking someplace else, said, there may be somebody else who's willing to go. Who's willing to leave home, leave family, leave customs, leave tradition, leave his homeland, leave comfort, and go to another place. Because they've got nobody to stand in the gap. They've got nobody to preach to them the gospel. They've got nobody else. And maybe He can win one. Maybe He can win two or three. Maybe He can win many. There are people in places like that all over the world. There are places still that they don't know anything about our civilization. They don't know how to read or write. They've never seen a Bible. They don't have the Bible translated in their language. They don't know the truth of Jesus Christ. And some of them have never heard the name J-E-S-U-S. They've never heard it. God is looking for a man that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge that He wouldn't have to destroy the people wherever they're at. I pray you find some.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.